Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
And that was a pretty good intro, right? Like, it sounds really good.
Sounds new. Sounds hip.
It's what the kids are listening to these days.
We dropped some bass.
It was dropped. We dropped the bass and the bass. They were on the floor.
It was on the floor.
So pretty cool stuff happened last week, and we didn't get to cover it in the show because it hadn't happened yet. But Steam, Valve, the Gaben. What did he do?
Did he announce Half-Life 3?
No, he didn't announce HL3, but you know what? It was... Careful. No one talks ill of Mr. Gabe. What he did, though, was... There were two parts to this ingenious little plan that he's throwing out there. One,
two parts? There was three.
What was the three?
Don't ask me that.
Oh, okay. So, one...
I have to look it up again.
I think I know.
There was three days of announcements. Right. Oh, SteamOS. That was the first. That's what it was.
So, SteamOS, and we covered that. SteamOS was the first announcement. It's an OS that will allow you to play... They tout like 3,000 games.
3,000?
Out of the box. 3,000 games.
What?
Valve games, of course. So, you know Half-Life 2 is going to work. Half-Life 1, Counter-Strike, Counter-Strike 2, Counter-Strike 3, Counter-Strike 6. However many they have. The Team Fortress Blahs. I mean, pretty much anything that they've ever touched or made. And the second day is going to be the second day of announcements, which we didn't get to cover, was something we had been thinking about Steam boxes and Steam machines for a long time.
There's pictures of Gabe playing one at Valve.
Right. But we didn't know that it was going to be more than one.
We thought Valve was just releasing one.
Right. It was just going to be like, here is the Steam box. But have they settled on a number yet as far as Steam boxes?
I don't believe.
Or Steam machines?
There's a prototype right now, and I think they're working on licensing and talking to other people to manufacture these cool little machines.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if they're actually going to look like what they look like in their graphic on their page.
With the little X and the...
They have that one. They have, like, the little trapezoid and then the cube.
Yeah, there's a couple little... And again, feel free to go to, like, steampowered.com or whatever.
Yeah, store.steampowered.com/living room/steam machines.
This is like the... Over a year ago, they released Big Picture, which Big Picture for the Steam game platform is a way of playing Steam games full screen on your computer or on your TV, and it looks fantastic. It works very well.
Yeah. Well, it's made for the living room, so you can sit back and still see your game library. I run it on my Media Center PC. It works great.
The third day, I believe, was the Steam gamepad.
Yeah, the Steam controller.
And so give us a little spec rundown of this game controller. It doesn't have to be official specs.
From
what you've seen.
Well, you know, it's nuclear powered. Unofficially, it's nuclear powered.
Legitimately.
Runs on the tiers of gamers who wanted Half-Life 3.
Oh, wow. So that's a lot of power.
But actually, it is a controller with dual touch pads and a little screen in the middle and several other buttons. It kind of looks like the Xbox controller, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing.
So it's got the touch pads, and it's got like two buttons on either side of the screen in the middle.
Right.
And then it's got a screen in the middle, two touch pads. Start and select underneath it, and then like one big space bar button looking thing.
Yeah, big space bar, and then like the screen in the middle, like the old Dreamcast controllers, except I think this is actually an LCD screen. Yeah.
It's built in. And it's got triggers, obviously.
Yay for triggers.
And I think it's got touchscreen on the back, too, like right where the – it's just another set of triggers.
Again, guys, it's built from the ground up to be hackable.
Hackable. I guess you just pull it apart and
– I'm guessing that's what that means, which will be cool.
Again, if you go to store.steampower.com/living room, I'm fairly certain all of these announcements are going to be up there. I am pretty excited about this. I was really into Big Picture when it shipped, and I like the idea of running a Steam OS. That is nothing but good news to me.
Being able
to run a Steam OS
built around gaming,
right? Well,
cut out all the stuff you don't need.
Not necessarily. Right. No productivity except gaming.
I don't need spreadsheets.
I like the idea of like family option. which is a really cool thing. Family Options allows you to play games off of like the same, or I'm sorry, Family Sharing, which kind of goes into that. You can play shared games. So in my case, I bought my girlfriend Portal and Portal 2. Yay. She didn't already have it. She doesn't really do PC or console gaming. She plays like Candy Crush. And that's fine. Casual gaming is her thing. So she wanted to get into playing Portal and Portal 2. I went ahead and I bought them for her and I put it on her own Steam account. But according to Family Sharing, connected accounts would be able to share games across the account. They just wouldn't be able to play them at the same time, which is fantastic. I have gotten my fill of Portal 1 and Portal 2. Every now and then I log in and I like kind of download new map packs, or ever since they opened up the workshop to Portal 2, you can get new, you know, new levels and new campaign-esque type things. But this is awesome because it's not only bundled with being able to share the games with people and being able to put them on the big screen, you can stream games from your existing computer to your Steam box or whatever machine has the Steam OS. So essentially, like for in your case, we talked last show about the media PC that you built.
Yeah.
It's a bad machine. I mean, bad in a good way.
Bad in the awesome, in the rad way.
In the rad way, in the 1980s, your awesome way. It doesn't need...
Power glove bad.
Power glove bad. Virtual boy bad.
This is so bad.
You don't need to stream anything because your computer is good enough to do it.
Right,
but let's just say that Star Trek did screw you over and you had to yank your graphics card out.
Not again.
And that integrated graphics chip, has well or not, maybe it can't do it. Now, as long as it can run Steam OS, your big computer can do all
the work. All the processing.
And that's awesome. That's essentially what transcoding for Plex does. And,
right.
Keep checking the website because we're going to have a Plex review. Either we're going to tag team it or we're going to get that out real soon. About Plex, but this is it. I feel like we're finally getting
MG
to that
point. Is obviously really excited.
No, I am because I like, first off, I love that it's on Linux. And again, I said this at CMOS last show, but I love that it's on Linux because that can change. It can change faster than Mac and Windows, and that's the point.
And it's been around.
It's tried, it's true, it's tested, and it's.
Speaking of tested and tried, you can try out Steam machine.
It's
maybe.
Well, okay, so I
think there's a possibility.
I think they're giving away how many of these?
300.
Like, so 300.
300.
And I want to say
just
like 50,
the Spartans.
560,000 people have already registered for this, so your chances are getting lower.
Probably still better than winning the lottery.
Well, yeah, but still.
But so the deal is, before October 25th, you have to log into Steam, join the Steam Universe community group, agree to the Steam hardware beta terms and conditions, I guess.
Click next a bunch of times.
Yeah, click just key yes, I agree.
I think it means you can't take the hardware and software and like rip it apart. And I mean, you can hack it, but you can't like sell it.
Probably. I mean, well, you have to click the link.
You should read it.
Then you have to make 10 Steam friends.
If you don't already have friends. If you don't have friends on Steam, you're not Steaming correctly.
Yeah, you're clearly doing Steam wrong.
You need to Steam better.
You're that guy with the Atari I keep bringing up who just played Pong by himself.
Then
you need to create a profile, public profile on Steam, if you haven't already.
You should already have won the badges for this.
You should.
There is a badge for this beta giveaway, though, by the way.
Is there? That's
awesome.
Yeah,
there's
awesome.
A badge.
That's
there's
awesome.
A badge for. I think it gets a level 2 badge if you actually get... Like
if you get into the beta,
so only 300 right. people will have that.
And then there is one final step that you have to complete
to register for the beta. I feel this is the hardest step.
This is the hardest thing because it requires you actually play a game, but not just play a game. It has to be in big picture mode, and you have to use a gamepad.
That's where they lose me.
I don't know. I have my receiver, so I have to find. Connect one of my 360 controllers to my PC, I guess.
I recently bought a new PS... Well, I bought a different PS3, and they gave me one of those, like...
Are you having the hardware glitches from the old... Like, do you have a release day?
Yeah, and we're going to get to that in the second part of the show. But they didn't give me, like, a 6-axis or a DualShock. They gave me, like, a knockoff USB-powered thing.
Yes.
But wait.
Is it Mad Cats?
It's not Mad Cats. It's like A something or other. It's got an A in it. It is... laid out, it's the shape of like a PS3 or a PS2 controller. Like
they got that right.
That standard, you know, boomerang like controller, but it's got a layout like the
no.
Xbox.
I wish boomerang would have came out. You remember that?
Yeah,
beta?
From the release. From
like, yeah,
1996.
Like the big. Yeah,
it looked like a really smooth mustache, and with buttons on it, and
who doesn't want to play with a mustache?
I mean, I would not. I guess whenever you get mad and you throw it at the screen, it'll be like
boomerangs back and hit you in the face.
At you. So that's what came out last week. They released it, or they released the announcement. They ran the announcement.
So, well, that was two of the announcements. You have the OS, the Steam machines, and can anyone guess what the third is?
All right.
No? Okay.
No one called in.
It is a Steam controller. It is not shaped like a boomerang.
No. And I've got reservations about this controller because
I'm way more excited than Matt about this.
Well, let's put it this way. I like my mouse and keyboard. I've always liked my mouse and keyboard because at the end of the day, the mouse and keyboard, I believe, was like the perfect setup.
The mouse and keyboard is the best way to do things.
Right.
But
please, share your love.
Okay. You're not going to be sitting in your living room with like three mouse and keyboard combinations with your friends playing games. Trackpads, listen to me. I'm getting to that. Game controllers is where it's at for living room gaming.
Yeah, because I guess you could just throw the controller to a friend. You don't have to worry about it.
Well, you can have multiple.
Well, we were talking about this last thing about how you control your media.
Yeah. And I had that mouse, keyboard, trackpad combination thing. It's
cool. Until they perfect the ability for me to hit a button and speak a command and it actually register or type for me, like dictate.
I'll let you know how the Xbox One does.
Oh, boy. Okay, I bet you will. Since it's coming with a Kinect, whether you want
it or not, you get it. And anyway, so this has two trackpads on it. In lieu of game sticks, my brain died.
Like little joysticks on it?
Yeah, thank you. Anyway, my brain died on that one. And so the idea there is it'll be higher. You'll be able to track better than moving a little joystick around with your thumb. Whether or not that's true.
Interestingly enough, and I'm going to read per the text on the website. Again, this is /living room/ Steam controller. Under the dual trackpads.
We're not just making stuff up anymore?
No, this is a quote. This is a quote. Man. Dual trackpads. The most prominent elements of the Steam controller are its two circular trackpads. Driven by the player's thumbs, each one has a high-resolution trackpad as its base. It is also clickable, allowing the entire surface to act as a button. So that's cool. The trackpads allow far higher fidelity input than was previously been possible with traditional handheld controllers. Steam gamers who are used to the input associated with PCs will appreciate that the Steam controller's resolution approaches that of a desktop mouse. Approaches. Okay? But this next one gets me. Whole genres of games that were previously only playable with a keyboard and a mouse are now accessible from the sofa. RTS games, casual, cursor-driven games, strategy games, 4X space exploration games, a huge variety of indie games, simulation titles, and this is where it gets me, and of course, Euro Truck Simulator 2.
Yeah!
Which is fantastic.
Now, Matt, that actually took off. Euro Truck Simulator 2?
I know.
Blew up.
Everyone loves it. It's really crazy.
If you want to be a truck driver, go to your local store, get you a trucker cap, and load up Truck Simulator 2. Also, I like Train Simulator. Choo-choo. Anyway, it also has a touch screen, so that was cool.
That's the big screen, although I guess it's the only screen on it.
It reminds me a lot of the Dreamcast controllers.
If you haven't touched your controller enough, You can touch it some more.
Lots of touching.
I do like the configurations. So you can bind configurations to your Steam account, and then whenever you play as you on some other system at anyone else's house, those bindings work for you automatically. Which I feel, you know.
Is that tied to your account or the controller? How that works?
I believe so. Again, well, I guess we'll read more. We'll quote it more. Shared configurations in order to support the full catalog of existing Steam games. In parentheses, none of which were built with the Steam controller in mind because it didn't exist. We have built in a legacy mode that allows the controller to present itself as a keyboard and as a mouse. The Steam community can use the configuration tool to create and share bindings for their favorite games. Players can choose from a list of the most popular configurations, and it shows an example of Portal 2. For this guy, this example, Eric, bound it.
Good job, Eric.
He did the controller's triggers, the shoulder button triggers, to the blue portal and the orange portal for the mouse buttons on Portal 2. There's zoom out, there's zoom in, there's movement all around, there's partner view, there's push to talk, there's a bunch of little things that he did. So it's like the old, I don't know if you remember that that program Joy to Key that would essentially take joystick inputs and map it to keyboard keys. This is what that's doing. It's automatically shareable now via, I assume, something like the workshop, something the community. I would love to see them say, yeah, I like this controller configuration. If I'm playing this game, no matter where I'm at, if I have one, me signed in, And two, I'm using a controller. I want this to be the default configuration all the time.
I'm thinking that's what it, that doesn't. It's not too clear, but I think it's tied to your account. Is what
yeah,
it
that's
looks
what
like.
I would hope it would be. That your
that
account,
makes sense.
Your, the games and thus your account because yeah. of the games.
And then one of my favorite features is the openness section,
yep.
where they're going to make it, like I said, hackable, which means you can take it apart and they don't care, which is awesome to me. Yeah.
Though I imagine there will be something in there. It's like, if you break it, you break it. Sorry. You didn't want to break it? Well, you
did. You shouldn't have. Well, no, you don't, never know. AMD back in the day used to let – they may still do. I haven't had AMD in a while, really. But they used to not care if you overclocked their processors. Burn it up, give them $20, and they send you a new one.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
I had so many $20 sent to AMD.
Right. I would go to the ATM a lot more.
Yeah. So they might not void a warranty or anything.
I'm curious, though. And again, like – it's not that Valve doesn't have money. Valve's got a ton of money, a boatload. Scrooge McDuck doesn't have this money. But I'm worried that because of the nature of the device, because of the nature of like, it's almost like, it's like an environmentalist device, I feel.
Environmentalist device.
Well, it's supposed to be good for the environment.
I've not seen green material.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. It's good for the environment, the gaming environment. It's good. It's like, Valve, I think, has always been sort of a company like by the gamers for the gamers. And making a product like
this. I believe
that
was Interplay.
Well, okay, definitely.
Who made Descent.
That was
Who is no longer, well, is back.
You know they actually made Earthworm Jim?
Yes, they did. And they came back and ported it to iOS. I'm still waiting on them to make a new Descent game. That would make
I don't know. I didn't like Descent 3, so.
Well, they didn't make it.
Oh, I thought they did.
No, they didn't. Interplay wasn't really involved in it.
Was that Volition?
I think
it couldn't have been Volition because they made Free Space and Free Space rocked.
Right.
Anyway. Off topic. I feel like Valve has always been a company that they look at what gamers want and give them a little bit of time and keep giving them your money, and they'll do it.
Still want Half-Life 3.
Well, they're working on it,
They have a lot of time.
I'm sure there's some deep, dark basement offices in California that are really dedicated to thinking about working on Half-Life 3.
I like how you phrase that.
I think the problem with companies that are very I don't know. They have this mindset of being there for the gamers is that they develop products like, okay, look at the what was that 3D headset that they had going? The Oculus Rift. I've heard good things and terrible things about the Oculus Rift.
What's his name? Carmen.
Is
CEO. ID?
Carmen
ID,
San
software?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No,
yeah,
not
yeah.
Carmen San Diego.
No. Carmack.
James Carmack. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. And John, now I just angered John every Carmack. Gamer ever.
John, yeah, the father of, you know, the first person.
You know,
shooter.
Nothing big.
Quake. Doom,
QuakeCon, all that.
Pretty much everything.
Id Software.
Wolfenstein.
My bad.
Kind of a big deal. No, I feel like game peripherals like that, they have to be made in a very solid, dense way. Like, I want density. I want weight. And I don't want it to be... Like, the fact that it's open, I don't care that it's open.
Well, it's open. You can put weights in it.
Right. Well, no, I know. I know. I get that. I'm saying that I don't want them to make it so easy to get into or so readily available to get into that it hinders the performance or the quality of the device because they allowed that to happen. I would rather them super glue everything in the world together so that it'll be unbreakable. You get what I'm saying? Like
I do. And actually reading the website now, they're talking in the section about it being open and hackable. They're talking about software, not so much hardware.
Oh, okay, good.
But
I don't know.
I want open hardware too.
I like the idea for what it means. Like, I'd love to be able to design
my
own controller.
It might be because they show it like an exploded view of the controller.
Yeah.
So I kind of hope. I hope that at least there's an. I hope it's well laid out so you can take out a few screws and take it apart.
Yeah, I would love to be able to modify a controller so that the button clicks feel very good to me. And it may not feel good to everyone else. Like the button, you know, there's got a lot of...
And they have other things, just like custom, you know, painting them, different things like that.
Yeah, oh yeah, no, exactly.
Adding LEDs for no reason.
For LEDs.
More LEDs, always more.
I like the idea of being able to hack and mod things. I'm very much a do-it-myselfer. But whenever I want to do something...
I think I have a fire break in my wall.
Another time, Red Bear. Whenever I want to play a game, though, I don't want to worry about if when I took my DualShock 3 apart or whatever, is it back together in such a way that it will be fine? Or if I'm really getting into the game and I like crunch it in half because it's made to be all these parts are replaceable. It's like I don't want an IKEA controller.
The day IKEA makes a controller,
they made
it'll probably be like controller named Fred or something.
Believe it or not, IKEA, I believe, made a camera, a digital camera.
What was its name?
I don't know, but...
That's my favorite part about IKEA, besides the meatballs, is the fact that all my furniture has names, like Steve, the bookshelf.
It's called Napa.
Napa.
So, okay, well, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, because the A has two little dots above it. So it's K-N-A-P with the dots, P-P-A, Napa, or Napa. And it's this cardboard digital camera. And it's
cardboard camera.
Yeah, it's a cardboard camera. It's it can hold 42.3 megapixel images. And yeah, so I mean, it was given away. Anyway, all I'm saying is I don't want very much like
controllers, that's how that idea
of making a cardboard camera, it seems nice and like interesting. I wouldn't want a controller that was made in a similar fashion.
I'm going to put it out there. I don't think Steam or Valve made it out of cardboard.
No, I'm going to say that.
I'm going to say that we're probably okay there.
I would hope so. We're going to go ahead and cut to a song real quick. This is "Welcome to the Breakdown" by I Fight Dragons. When we come back, we're going to discuss how to completely disassemble your dreams and your hopes, and then put it back together so you can play Grand Theft Auto 5. I am MG,
and I'm Red Bear.
And you are listening to 90.9 FM KSLU Experience Points. Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
And this is Experience Points, and that was Welcome to the Breakdown by I Fight Dragons. Hopefully they're hard at work on their Kickstarter, Project Atma.
And not breaking off.
Future is near, yeah. They went through some rocky stormy waters, however you want
rocky
to
call it. Rocky storms.
Rocky storms.
Sounds like rocks.
Sounds like a female wrestler, Rocky Storm. I'm sorry, a male wrestler, Rocky Storm.
I like the female wrestler, Rocky Storm.
Rocky storms.
Just pops a rocky top right before the
match. Oh, I was going to say there's metaphors there, but...
Oh, yeah.
So before we said about dissembling your hopes and dreams before the song, let's do a little bit of backtrack. go check out Backtrack if you would like to.
I now have your passwords.
Clear text over the air.
I'm sending these packets for this.
So back in 2006, 2007, PS3 was released and it was expensive. It was like $600. And people were like, that's not that bad though for all that it did.
It did a lot.
So
speaking of Linux, it let you throw Linux on it.
It let you put Linux on it. That was
back in the day before they updated it.
I put it on the website. I put it up on a website to just kind of go through this trials and tribulations that I've run through. But
as a PS3 owner.
As a PS3 owner, I've run through my first year in college programming was done on Yellow Dog Linux on my PS3 because I didn't have money to build my own computer.
You spent it all on the... For
$600? $600.
Nice PC.
Right. Especially back in the day.
But games are way more important, right?
Right. And I had this idea that, oh, yeah, I'm going to have Blu-ray drive. I'm going to be able to do all this stuff. And I never really did anything with it. And to be honest, you know, once I built a computer for $600 or $700 or $800, I completely uninstalled Linux and everything. Or I want to say it uninstalled it for me because the firmware upgrade, air quotes... Took away the fact that you can install another OS on it. So that was terrifying and terrible and bad.
In the words of Agent Coulson, people often confuse the terms new and better.
Yep. It was – they were like, oh, it's a security issue. That's why we're taking it out. And I was like, that's fine. You can install Linux on your console. Maybe that's a security issue, but you probably shouldn't have – like I have the manual for my original PS3. I have the original 60 gig. The manual like sells it as a feature. Like you – can install another operating system on it.
Well, the thing is like everyone that did it was extremely upset, but I just don't think there's enough people doing it to be upset.
And yeah, I think that's kind of the thing. And again, we've moved on. We moved on. We're past it.
You built a computer. You put Linux on it.
Right. And
Gabe came out. He's making SteamOS on Linux. So you're going to get your Linux for that.
Oh, man. You could put SteamOS on the PS3.
I'm actually wondering if SteamOS would give you access to the console.
Gameception.
Gabeception.
Anyway... I've had the original PS3 and I've enjoyed it. You know, it's given me several hundred hours of playtime. I have never had a problem with it. I'll go out on a limb and say that I've heard of people with yellow light problems and problems where the GPU is dying and all this stuff with heat problems. I have never had those problems until Until last week.
I shouldn't say this, but I have managed to escape the Xbox 360
Red Ring of Doom. Yeah,
I've never had that.
My brother had.
Watch me go home tonight and turn it on.
Turn it on. It's like nope. Do you have a white one?
I have a white one. Big fat white one.
Wow. Yeah. So there was a 3 out of 5.
Oh yeah. No. Like the fail rate was retarded.
Right. And
but I've managed to skip it for now.
Well, hopefully.
I may have made an angry order on Xbox One. It made me sad.
I can't let you do that, Chase.
Sorry, Chase. Can't let you do that.
No, so Grand Theft Auto is a thing right now.
Grand Theft Auto 5.
In fact, it is ridiculously good.
It is ridiculously ridiculous.
Yeah, I think we're probably going to do an audio podcast or maybe a video podcast and just put it online because
you can do an entire podcast on my roommate buying stock.
It's so, and
The most boring part of Grand Theft
the
Auto.
The problem is I don't think we can censor out a review on Grand Theft Auto 5 enough to make it to make it street legal, like radio legal for public radio. So we'll probably have to do that.
Clearly, Matt's been playing too much.
Exclusively online. I will say this though, and again, minor tangent towards Grand Theft Auto. That game is probably one of the best games I've ever played.
Oh yeah,
and
it's great fun.
It's great fun.
Which is what games are supposed to be.
It's great fun. It's ridiculous in all the right ways. It's a full satire of how life is today. And I feel like because I'm playing it and I'm catching all the little quips and jokes and everything, and they're crammed down your throat. They're not even subtle about it. Right. But I feel that because I understand all of them, even everything down from the names of the stocks to the TV shows on the TV.
We can't say some of the names of stocks.
Yeah, we can't. But because I realize all that, that's why it's a satire. It's a satire and in the best way.
The game. Well, okay, so in Grand Theft Auto, you can basically live life as a gangsta, but...
Or as an out-of-work con.
Or as a redneck. Anyway, so an entire life is my point, and it's a satire on your entire life.
They've implemented this neat functionality where you can... Again, this is more than a tangent, but they've implemented this nice little piece of functionality where... Or piece of gameplay where you can switch between the three main characters and a dog. Sometimes between the dog.
It lets you know whenever you can.
But because you switch between three main characters, you don't know what the other characters are doing while you're not controlling them. So every now and then, if you like switch back to another character, you see them doing something like on the phone, finishing up a conversation. And it's like, they say something at the end of the conversation and they say bye. And you instantly wonder, what were they talking about? Who were they talking
to?
They're
actually, I think they're actually doing things. It's part of storyline, maybe?
Yeah, I want to say they're doing stuff. It's
not just BS, random, pick, phone call now.
I think it has a, I don't know. I think it has...
Possible fact.
Anyway, so there's that. That was my Grand Theft Auto tangent.
Have you gotten the car spawning glitch yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, man, that is the funniest thing ever.
I have a PS3. I don't have glitches.
No, this is on PS3.
Oh, okay.
The glitch is like car. Like you'll like have a car in your garage or something, and then it'll spawn again on top of itself.
Oh,
it's just fun.
Nice. I will say this: everything about the game so far has been fantastic. Everything, including the mini games of tennis and biking and running and racing and all the little
running
mini games.
Is so much fun. All the when little it's mini virtual.
Games, all the little mini games. Yeah, I know, right? anyway, so got Grand Theft Auto and Kingdom Hearts 1.5 HD for my birthday.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, you're old.
I put them in my PlayStation 3.
It blew up.
Installed. No. Aww. But again, Grand Theft Auto, what people don't seem to say enough about Grand Theft Auto is that it's like an 8-gig install. So when you put it in and you're like, yeah, I'm ready to play some Grand Theft Auto. Woo! It's going to be great. And then you
six hours later,
you put it in, and it's like it's booted, and it's like doo 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 doo. It's playing the theme music, and you think it's loading. Then you notice at the lower right hand corner of the screen, it's like 84 megabytes out of 8,447 megabytes installed, and it goes very slowly because Blu-ray is not. It's not like the best storage format for long-term storage or for fast storage. At least it's good whenever you're reading. Movies off of it, that's fine. It's good whenever you have load times, but when you don't have any load times, which is fantastic, you have to unfortunately install some parts of the game.
Get all the load times at the beginning.
Right, right, yeah. And it was like almost, it was like 40 minutes of install.
And actually, I kind of like that because it brings me back to the days of like my Windows 3.1 machine installing Wing Commander.
Yep.
Right, like six disks. It took like 6 hours.
I mean, don't get me wrong, past the install, and I'm going to explain in a second why I hate this process, but past the install, the game works flawlessly.
Well, man, I'm going to say you're going to have to get used to it because you said your release console had 60 gigs of storage?
Right.
The next PS4 releases with 500 gigs, so guess what that means?
I'm okay with that because that's how my PC is. And
they are becoming more and more PC-ish.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're following. Again,
like that line is starting to
fade. We're starting to trend majorly towards PC hardware, and I couldn't be happier unless they allow you to upgrade your console in a very minimalistic way. So if I...
Well, I don't know if I really want an upgradable console.
I know that's
maybe
kind of
storage.
I know that's kind of the point of a console is that
because I like being able to buy this package every now and then and be like, boom, it works. Everything's designed to work here.
Right. You will get the benchmark. You don't have to worry about the parts inside because that is the point of the console.
And that's what I like about my PC. When I want to mess around with all that, I already have a PC.
Absolutely. I get where you're coming
from. It's the great divide.
PC
gaming master race.
I installed Grand Theft Auto on my original 60 gig PS3. I've put a 320 gig thing in it, so it was fine. I needed to download some Rock Band DLC. That's why I installed a new hard drive. But anyway, I start playing Grand Theft Auto 45 minutes after I wanted to play it, and
just like when I started playing Half-Life 2.
Yeah, yeah. And it starts giving me some texture tearing, some spikes, some random things, you know. The game wasn't crashing, but it was the telltale signs of heat, dust, GPU problems, just all those things that are really, really bad. And I've taken apart some PS3s. My brother's PS3 got the yellow light, and I took it apart, and I did the reflow with a heat gun on the processors.
Yeah, and then you got mad at me for playing with the heat gun in the apartment.
I remember that. Could have burned.
It was having fun.
It gets to 1,000-something degrees.
It was fun.
For all intents and purposes, that's the sun to me.
It was fun.
We live in Louisiana. I know I should be used to, like, the heat, but 1,000 degrees is a little excessive.
And Matt gets upset when you run around with a heat gun.
Anyway.
Apparently.
So I was worried, took my entire PS3 apart, disassembled my hopes and dreams, reapplied. I put some Arctic Silver on it. That's what I did.
I just took that to my roommates.
I cleaned off all of the stuff and went meticulously, got denatured alcohol and, you know, did the whole shebang on it.
Yeah. Side note, Arctic Silver 5 is my favorite.
It is.
Thermal
mine as well. It's the right consistency. It doesn't I guess it's easy to apply. You don't need to get some special applicator like a lot of these other ones do. Yeah.
And it's just good.
And it's good.
It dissipates heat.
It's fantastic.
It's what you want
the curing time.
Based.
I'll say this. The curing time on the PS3, I over-cured it. I played it for 30 minutes, and it was, like, absolutely fine after 30 minutes. Most of the time, they're like, you have to benchmark it and overclock and run it hot for, like, an hour and a half, you know, 2 hours. I did it in a quarter of that time. And it was fantastic. Curing is the process where you bring it up to temperature and you leave it there so that it can properly adhere the heat sink in the processor to the stuff. Anyway, it works. It works fine. Grand Theft Auto 5 is fantastic. Kingdom Hearts is, I mean, fantastic. I'm finally able to play more on Infamous because I uninstalled it whenever I installed it again.
I've started playing Infamous.
Infamous is a fantastic game. We will do a throwback review and review Infamous.
My only issue was I'm playing it on my PC and I got a 27-inch monitor. Well, I have 3 27-inch monitors, but
it doesn't support surround, right?
It does.
Oh, wow.
So I had to cut it down to 1, but it's something about the game. I'm going to have to figure out. It makes me, like, car sick.
Wow.
I don't know what it is.
Wow.
And it's not the frame rate.
You have motion sickness?
Yeah, I get motion sickness playing Infamous.
Well, I think you're getting old.
That's my review.
You're getting old. You're not able to be a gamer.
Gonna have to take some Dramamine before I play my games.
Dramamine. Anyway.
I mean, those little bracelets they give you on cruise ships.
Motion sickness medicine.
Motion.
Anyway. I ended up getting a different PS3 anyway. I ended up buying it. I got it for $100. It's 160 gig slim, not the newest slim, like the super slim. It was like the matte black, still, you know, mechanical.
I think everything should be matte black, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, it's easy to clean. It shows scratches really well, but so does like shiny black stuff show scratches.
Piano
like,
black, yeah.
I don't think you're going to get away from scratches or from scuffs. And I want to know, how do you get scuffs on your PS3? What are you putting it on or on top of or below?
Well, I mean, if you're moving it around, I could say. I mean, if you take it to your friend's place.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, fair enough. But you put, you should put some life proof.
Or life proof your whole.
Yeah, you should put some invisible shield on.
You should just put everything in a big bubble.
Or you know what they call visible shields? Briefcases. You just put it in a briefcase.
Everyone should own briefcases. It's visible for PS3s. I do like the slim PS3s, though. I'll tell you why. It has buttons.
Yeah, so
buttons are the best thing
ever. It's got buttons. I will say this. I love the touch controls on the new one when they work. And they always worked for me, but I've heard so many terror stories of like it not working.
I've turned a touch button into an actual button, and it stopped working.
I've realized things that they thought were a good idea that I don't need on a console. And it's going to sound weird. It's going to sound weird, but I want to be able to build a console and customize a console in four or five different aspects. One, the amount of USB ports.
Well, USB can daisy chain.
Right, right. I only care about one USB port, and I'd prefer it to be on the back. One USB port on the back and allow me to daisy chain off of it. I'll be happy. I don't care about wireless. I don't need wireless on a console because if I'm going to play any type of game, I want it connected to a hard line. And that's just me. I want to take wireless out. I don't want a card reader because it's not for – I'm not going to store my photos on it. I don't need – first off, they included on the PS3, they included like the Sony-specific memory card.
Magic Gate.
Magic Gate. That's what it was.
I had Magic Gate because I had a PSP.
I'm not gonna use that. I think that's what I had. I have like this 512 megabyte Magic Gate memory card.
They were really expensive.
They are.
Like, you look at SD cards, like 2 gig SD card, half the price.
Right. You look at us now. It's like you can get an eight gig Magic Gate card. You can get a 64 gig SD card for the same price.
Well, I mean, I just got like a 32 gig jump drive for like $20.
Yeah.
Mind blown.
I don't think you need that. Likewise, I don't want any of my accessories to be not USB. Everything should be USB. I don't want FireWire like on the PS2. I don't want accessory ports like the Kinect on the Xbox 360.
Yeah, I don't know why they did that.
Because they have it supports power. It throws power to it as well. Okay. I would prefer you have a separate power connection that I have to plug in.
I want more cables.
I would also like any auxiliary power to connect to the console itself and let its power supply manage. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know about that because you may overload the power supply.
You shouldn't, though. That's what I'm saying. Like you should only have one, and it should be very specific to what it uses. So, like, if you're using a Kinect, it should plug that Kinect into that. If you're using a little portable screen, then the portable screen should plug into the console.
Because, oh, man, that was the best accessory for the PS1 ever.
You should
the
never.
Clamshell?
Yeah.
That was great.
You should never. Well, think about this. You should never use a PlayStation Eye or a Kinect on the go.
In the back of the car.
In the back of the car. Because it doesn't make any sense.
Matt, this sounds like a road trip.
I mean,
we're going to get a Wii with the motion. We're going to do all motion controls in the back of a van.
That's the one. Okay, so.
That's what we should do.
Since you said that, the Wii is the best console, I think, to travel with. It's small. Really? It's really, really small. It doesn't need a high-def screen, but it's okay if you want that. It doesn't put out a lot of heat. It plays DVDs, which is really what
Does it play DVDs?
It plays DVDs, I believe. I know the GameCube didn't.
I don't believe they let you at first.
Oh.
Well, they may have done an update. Like, it has a DVD driver in it.
The main thing is it's small. It's really small. And for some games, because obviously the Wii is a bad console because you have to move. It's got the motion thing. But for some games, if you could just get to the game, then you could play a ton of games that don't require you touch controls or you know, waggling the stick up and down to actually do it. So
yeah.
Anyway, fixed it. Got a new PS3. Even though the other one's working, I got this one for $100 because I used to.
PS4's coming out next month.
Yeah, but I'm gonna give it a little bit of time. I'm doing my best.
Are
to
you?
Kind of, yeah.
You're not gonna get a release.
I had a big boy talk with myself, and I've realized that. Only just now have I, because of these two really good games that I really wanted to play, have I started playing with consoles again. I don't do a lot of console gaming. I'm still going back through, and I promised Will I would do this last season. I would go through and play all of the Zeldas. And I'm still on Skyward Sword, which is like the first chronological Zelda.
We're not getting into Zelda timelines.
No. They released it.
Is there an official?
For the official 20-year
And how many fanboys got mad at that?
No one. Because, I mean, there's like tangent timelines, so it kind of works. Anyway, I still haven't played that. So I'm only playing Grand Theft Auto 5 and Kingdom Hearts 3 or Kingdom Hearts 1.5 because they're available and it's awesome. And it's the games that I've been looking forward to play for a really long time. Before that, I didn't play many of them. Also, because I had to go in, turn the projector on, sit down, get comfy, and actually play.
Poor Matt.
Let me put it this way. If I could play PS3 games using my monitors at my desk.
Why can't you?
I can now. I have two PS3s. Before, though.
That YouTube video. Three PS3s.
The biggest problem I felt with the PS3 back in the day, though, was when they upgraded and took away the backwards compatibility. Not only did they take out Linux, they took away the PS2 backwards compatibility.
Wait, even on the ones that had the PS2 like embedded in it?
Oh, no. They left that. That was called the Emotion Engine. They left that in there. But circa 2009, maybe 10? I don't know. I can't remember. They not too far back, but farther, like, past the halfway point in PS3's life. They removed the Emotion Engine, and then they removed the software backwards compatibility.
Oh, well, that's what they made the new generation, like the new hardware, right?
Right, right.
Oh, yeah, they were trying to shrink it.
Right, and they did. They very much did shrink it. But I was really annoyed, and I was sore at the time because my PS2 library was huge compared to my PS3 library. And PS3, they had like a few good games, not enough for me to be like, well, I'm just going to get rid of my PS2 library so I can just have PS3 games.
Oh, yeah. You never want to get rid of your old library.
I mean, since then,
we have a Sega Genesis connected to our setup.
Yeah, I mean, because you want to play Zero Wing or something like Zero Wing.
Clay Fighter.
Mad Max or Mega Max.
Clay Fighter.
Yeah. Anyway, long story short, bought a PS2, bought another PS3. So now I've got the whole shebang. I'm a vintage gamer, I think. PS2s are fairly vintage now.
Are they vintage now?
They're over 10 years old.
Are they still making games for them?
No.
Because they made games for them forever.
No, I think they stopped making them a couple years ago. And the last PS2 game must have been, I don't know. I think it was probably like a sports game overall.
Mad.
I think it was like FIFA or something.
Wow,
and
awesome.
I don't know. Maybe they're still producing it.
I don't know.
Anyway,
PS4's coming out. Yay.
All that being said, PS4s are coming out. You know, if you want to fix your PS3, just yank it apart. The warranty's probably expired. Make sure the warranty's expired first
Or be brave.
Well, I don't know, because if it's broken, you could send it to Sony for like $150. may not be worth it, though, at that point because, I mean, realistically, it's only worth, like, brand new $250.
Plus, you can go on Craigslist, get you one for $100.
Yeah. I mean, go to a pawn shop, go to Craigslist, go to eBay. I think I got my original 60 gig from a person off of eBay.
Nice.
And I still paid $600 back when they were $800.
But you could get one.
Right. And exactly. So that's that. In fact, some small little minor annoyance. Actually, it was an incredible annoyance because I have really bad internet. Downloading the games on the new PS3 was going to take a long time, so I decided I was going to use the data transfer utility built into the OS on each PS3. So essentially what you do is you turn them off, you connect an Ethernet cable to each of them, so they're connected, and you turn it on, and it realizes there's a PS3 on the end. So then you go into data transfer and you say transfer from me to this other one, and you go in the other one and you say transfer from him to me. It looks at the hard drive sizes and says, well, the other one has X number of gigs of stuff. I only have X number of gigs of space. If one number is the same or less than the other number, let's go ahead and throw everything over there. But I think at some point it lagged, like it just stopped transferring after like 3 or 4 hours of transfer. So
that's fun.
So I was like, great. It stopped at 87%. I rebooted the machines. Both were fine. Formatted the disks on it or whatever. And then I started looking at what I could transfer. Because I have a PlayStation Plus. I have online storage. Put my saved games in the cloud. And then I start looking at all of the game data that's stored on the PS3. Anything I could delete to make that file size overall, like say 90 gigs, if I could bring that down to maybe like 40 gigs – by deleting some installed game data. Like, there was Devil May Cry 4 game data. I don't use Devil May Cry. And that was 4 gigs of data I could just take off.
Wow, and a game save?
Right. Well, no. It's like a game installed, like, cache.
I thought you were saying game saves. I'm like, Jesus.
I'm looking through all this stuff, and I find, like, Rock Band. Rock Band's 34 gigs. Just Rock Band 1 songs. So it's like the entire dump of Rock Band 1, so that then Rock Band 2 and Rock Band 3 can talk to it. The entire dump of Rock Band 2.
Right.
And then I start looking at Rock Band 3. And overall, there was a ton of space. I only bring this up because we're about to play a song from Rock Band 3. This is Nom 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 Nom
Nom
by Perry Grip. I'm hungry now. We should go eat after the show.
Nom-noms.
This is Nom 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 by Perry Grip. P-A-R-R-Y, like, I guess, sword fighting Perry. Grip, also sword fighting, you hold on to things. You're hearing it here on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. Experience points, I'm MG.
Nom! And I'm Red Bear.
Nom 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 nom.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I am MG.
I am Red Bear.
And that was a song that was actually Nom 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 by Perry Grip. And it's pretty awesome. I like that song. He had another song. I can't remember what it was. Oh, it was Last Train to Awesome Town. That was the other song. And that was pretty awesome. We are going to talk about physical labor now.
Physical labor.
When you...
Still legal.
Still legal. Yeah, you can still work outside in the heat. You can still sweat. Some people don't work on computers.
I'm sorry.
Or, like, in my case, like, what did you do this weekend? You were saying you took down fences.
Yeah, I ripped down 2 cow fences with a John Deere tractor in my bare hands.
In his bare hands. I moved pallets. And so here's the deal. I got through. Here's the real deal here. I went through this moment, and apparently this is a big thing on Pinterest. I don't know. I don't go to Pinterest, but you already know what I'm gonna say. There's all this stuff you can do with pallets. So I looked at all this stuff online. It wasn't on Pinterest. It wasn't on Pinterest, though.
I swear.
People have come to me and be like, "Oh, I saw that on Pinterest." And the more people that said I saw it on Pinterest, and the more fact that they were female, I'm like, I don't think I'm going down the right path. I think I need to change. But I got these pallets. I made a bench out of one of them. I was going to make a couple other things out of them. And just it got too hot outside, so I decided to go against it. But I did have probably 500 pounds of pallets. And they were like, I don't know.
Heavier every time you tell the story.
No, they were like 14 feet long and like 6 feet wide or 5 foot wide. They were pallets that were designed to ship big things of metal, like big bundles of metal.
Big things of metal.
And they've been outside for like 10 years. Right? 5 to 10 years. They were treated. They've just been – it was a place in Hammond that they were giving them away. They tried to give them away several times. People never come and get them. So one day, me and my boss loaded up his truck, and we, like, brought some pallets to his house and then bought some pallets to my house.
Yay for pallets.
And it was great. And I thought it was going to be fantastic. And then I realized that after
it's
breaking
the
them –
you saw on Pinterest you could do with pallets.
Well, I didn't see them on Pinterest.
Yeah,
but. But with all the work that I put into breaking these pallets down, the wood wasn't that high a quality. So I probably could have just gone to Lowe's and spent, you know, a little more money or any money and gotten, you know, better. My dad comes over this weekend to help me move pallets. This is while I was trying to transfer stuff for Grand Theft Auto 5. So I haven't played any Grand Theft Auto 5 at this point. He comes over to help me move pallets. Decides we're going to pick up one of these like 120-pound pallets. Now, when two people do this, it's distributed. It's not that heavy.
Basic physics. We're putting
it into his truck. I'm trying to get, like, the right angle on it. He drops his end, and it completely smashes my pinky. Now, you don't use your pinky a lot in games. You use it when you play bass and guitar, and you use it when you're typing. But so if the review is a little misspelled this week, you know, that's fine. That's what happened. This pinky's bleeding. The nail's all messed up. It's gross to look at. I had to go put some peroxide on it. And then I realize whenever you're holding a controller, the muscles that have to, like, contract in your fingers to hold the controller
in
the right
way. The pinky has to wrap around.
The pinky has to bend.
Oh, my gosh.
It's such
mouse and keyboard, bro.
I know. Well, no, because even then, like,
you get the razor where it just sits on top. You're fine.
Maybe the left control would always be a pain.
Oh, your left hand, though.
The left control. Yeah, it's on my left hand, thankfully.
So break your right hand and don't use a Logitech.
So I go in there, and when he drops it, I, like, yank it out real fast. And I'm wearing gloves, so I'm like, oh, that's not bad. And then it starts to get hot. Like, I start feeling hot. And I was like, man, what could I do to like make this thing go away? So I put some water on it. That didn't work.
Throw a blanket on it.
I put some alcohol on it. Didn't work. I wrap it in like a little paper towel. That didn't work. And then one of my friends, one of my really good friends, he goes, did you rub some bacon on it? And
clearly the right answer.
And that is the right answer. We're going to play a song right now before the show is over with. We're going to come back after this, but this is Rhett and Link singing Rub Some Bacon on It. You're listening to Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
We're going to rub some bacon on you. Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And that was Rub Some Bacon on It by Rhett and Link. You're listening to Experience Points. We are finished, though. We're out.
That is it. This is the show.
This is the show. Not the last show. Show for now.
There's another one next week.
Next week from 9 to 10. Again, sorry about the technical difficulties last week. Promise it won't happen again. Maybe. Again, sometimes things just get messed up. But next week, Wednesday, 9 to 10 p.m., please listen in. If you need your fix, and we recommend you get your fix.
Always get your fix.
What's that URL, Barry?
What was that? Is that exppoints.com?
Make sure you get the two P's.
Double P's.
That's important. Go to the website. We've got reviews. We've got little blog entries. We've got some podcasts coming up. Probably not this week, but soon there will be. I think we're going to do a Starship Bridge Simulator podcast episode where we're all taking turns being parts of the Starship. I'm not sure if it's officially the Starship Enterprise, but a Starship.
It's a Starship.
So go ahead and stay tuned for that. If you'd like to reach me, my email is mg@exppoints.com.
I'm redbear@exppoints.com.
Two P's. Can't stress it enough. Go ahead and check it out. We've got a lot of stuff coming up. Also, if you want to listen to this show or any of the previous shows, please go to the radio show header on exppoints.com and click on any of the radio shows. You can stream them from the site. You can download them as a podcast. You can sign up for our RSS feed. You know, there's just a ton of stuff that you can do. You are in control. You have the power.
It's all about you.
I'll be actually posting season three's podcast or season three's radio shows as well as soon as they're edited. And we'll get Will North probably for a comeback show if we can find him. But he may have gone to Saskatchewan already.
Saskatchewan.
Yeah, he's running and gunning, selling them monies.
Selling money.
Man. Also, if you would like to go to the Facebook group, you can click on exppoints.com all the way at the bottom of any of the pages. Click the Facebook F, and you will be directed to the Experience Points group, where you can join the group, you can invite friends to the group, you can do all this stuff with the group, and thus get email or get notifications that way through the Facebook.
Through the Facebooks.
We will have it set up soon, and I think it's already set up on the website now. I think I did that last week, where you can log in and share and like different things using Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Reddit, Tumblr, Pinterest, or StumbleUpon. We have full social media integration now, so if you do like a comment or whatever.
Social.
We are. Then you can do that.
You can do whatever you want.
We are working on a lot. Expect a Grand Theft Auto 5 review soon. Expect a Kingdom Hearts 1.5 HD remix review.
Expect Red Bear to get a review up soon.
We've had minor permission problems with Red Bear's reviews. They're there. They just aren't viewable. We're going to fix that soon so he can get to posting.
Get to the post.
Please go ahead and follow us, and you will be amazed and surprised and fantastically enjoyed all of the stuff on the website. So with that, we're going to go ahead and get out of your ears and leave you with MC Frontalot.
In your ears.
Zero Day. This is the way you know. This is when you know things are happening. I believe 8.1 for
8.1 Windows comes out in October some point.
Yeah, but some point. Maybe
Zero
be
Day
a
exploits.
Zero Day there. So just
Let's
be prepared.
Find out what's going on.
Get ready. This is Zero Day by MC Frontalot. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
And this is Experience Points on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU.
Good night.